Last Sunday evening, we started a short series on the subject of perfecting holiness, which is God's will as expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, where he tells us to perfect holiness in the fear of God, a passage that we want to, where we started last Sunday night, and where we want to also go back and see again a little bit later in our study tonight. But that's where we got the particular title for this series, but the basis of our study, because when God tells us that we need to perfect holiness in the fear of God, we need to do that. We need to understand what that is and follow all the things that God teaches about that. And so last week we began with a consideration of the foundation for our being able to follow holiness and to perfect holiness, and that is the fact that God is holy, the one that is teaching us those things. He is holy. And we looked at a number of scriptures that emphasize and declare the holiness of God. Then we also looked and spent the rest of our time looking at shadows from the Old Testament that we find fulfillment of in the New Testament. But with that emphasis on the holiness of those things in the Old Testament, we find very important teachings for us to learn from in the New. So we saw in the Old Testament how the camp of Israel was to be holy, that God was among them. And of course, the Israelites, they had their camp in the wilderness when they were journeying there after they left Egypt before they entered the land of Canaan. Then they had that permanent camp in the land of Canaan, but God was among them and they were to be holy. The tabernacle and later the temple was to be holy. The priest, their garments, the vessels of the sanctuary, all those things that pertain to that, they all had to be holy. They were set apart for the service of God. And we also looked at the consequences of when those things were profaned or desecrated, how God viewed that when something that was set apart for him was misused in a common way other than for his service. And God did not approve of that and was very strong in standing against that and punishing those who did that. We also remember that God reserved the Sabbath day under the law of Moses to be a holy day, a day set apart for the children of Israel to do the Lord's work on that day, to consider his words and not their own works. And those were all shadows, as we saw in the New Testament. We are that holy nation of Israel. We are that spiritual camp of Israel in that sense. We are that temple, the temple of God, that holy temple of the Lord, and according to the teachings of the New Testament. We also are that holy and royal priesthood. And so all those things about of the shadows, we have to fulfill those things. We also recognize that in the New Testament, all of our time needs to be spent devoted to serving the Lord. And we don't have, we're not judged in Sabbath days anymore, as the Lord commanded us in Colossians 2:17. We have all of our time that we're supposed to spend in the flesh to do the will of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 2. So we want to pick up from there tonight to look a bit more at some of the things that God commanded to physical Israel concerning his will for them. And then particularly the job of the priests, and what he also taught the parents of the Israelites to do. And these are all things for us to learn from that as we consider our role as a follower of Christ under the New Testament. We have that same will of God, that is for us to be holy, and his commandment for us to do that. He teaches us how that is to happen. We are again that holy and royal priesthood, that we need to be doing what the shadow of that priesthood that we are, what they were to do, that we can learn from. We still have the job as parents to teach our children so that they will learn to be holy. And so we want to look at that from the Old Testament and then go on and look at what he commands us in the New Testament. So that's our task for the remaining 25 minutes or so that we have. We'll see how we do in that. But at any rate, if we go back to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus to chapter 19 and verse 6, Exodus 19 and verse 6, he says, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So he wanted the physical nation of Israel to be a kingdom of priests and to be a holy nation. So there was God's will for Israel, that they be a holy nation. Leviticus chapter 11. Let's turn over there. Leviticus chapter 11. I want to spend a moment or two in the book of Leviticus, as there's several verses to remember from this. But Leviticus 11, 44 and 45, we should recognize these verses because they're quoted in the New Testament. He says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Then Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then we have chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." And verse 26 of chapter 20, he says, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." So all those verses there in Leviticus teaching that same important principle. And that's why we started last week considering how God is holy. We see that's the basis for our call, or God's call for us to be holy, his command for us to be holy. We're to be holy because he is holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, we see this passage from Leviticus quoted in the New Testament. So he brings that over, commands us as spiritual Israel to be holy because God is holy. 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So there he gives that as the reason why we should be holy, and why we should be holy in all of our behavior, which is what that word conversation means. So again, everything that we do, all of our behavior should be in accordance with the will of God, as set apart for him, because he is holy. And we, his children, must be also. Back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers in chapter 15. Numbers 15 and verses 38 through 41. "Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart or your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you up, brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Now we know in the New Testament they had corrupted this this good commandment that God gave them. In their practice, they corrupted it and made the borders of their garments to be such that it would draw attention to themselves so that they could receive the glory of men. That was not the purpose. That was contrary to God's purpose. He did want them to do this with their garments so that, as a reminder for them, to remember all of God's commandments to do them and not to seek after their own hearts, to remember to do all of his commandments and to be holy unto God. So he wanted them to have that reminder of that very important commandment on their clothing. That was something they were to literally wear at all times. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, when God commanded the nation of Israel not to be a part of any of those other nations, it was because God had called them to be holy. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 6. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and also the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So God told them to have not to mix themselves with those other nations. They weren't holy. They were corrupt. They were defiled. And he told them not to deal with those people, to utterly destroy them, not to make marriages with them that would turn them away from God. The basis of that was that God had separated this nation for himself to be his people, and they were to be holy not be a part of that world that they were in. So that was God's commandment to them there regarding those other nations. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. So we see that stated again as God's will for that physical nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 26, 18 and 19. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. And then we have chapter 28 and verse 9 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 9. He says, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. So we see this over and over again in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of these books wherein the law of Moses was given. Over and over again, God emphasized how that they as a nation were to be holy to God, as he had chosen them to be apart from all other nations for serving him. We have already mentioned that God had created a priesthood for this nation. He wanted that nation to be a kingdom of priests, he said in Exodus 19:6 that we read earlier. But he did choose the tribe of Levi, Aaron, Moses' brother, to be the first high priest of Israel, and that of Aaron's descendants, they would serve as the priests in Israel. So this was the Levitical priesthood for the physical nation of Israel. What was their job? Well, back in the book of Leviticus in chapter 10, God specified what their job was to be, what they were supposed to be doing in Israel. Now, keep in mind, this is the same chapter that begins with the sin committed by Aaron's first two sons, Nadab and Abihu, that caused them to be struck dead by the Lord, as fire was sent down from God to consume them because they offered strange fire to him. So they were not obeying the Lord's commandments. And after doing that, and then God told Aaron not to mourn for his sons for what had happened. But then, as this all occurred in this very chapter, in verses 10 and 11, he told Aaron, he says, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now, this was, again, after God gave such a strong lesson for the whole nation to see, and certainly for Aaron, and he had two other sons, for them to see, because they would be the priests in Israel. Their job would be to put difference between what was holy and unholy, and to teach the children of Israel all of God's statutes. So they had to make that discernment and then teach that to the people. God commanded Israel to be holy. Well, who of the Israelites would be the ones to constantly be there to teach the people and remind them, be holy to God, for He is holy? Well, that's what the priests were supposed to be doing. That was their job. Now we can read how so often not only did they not do their job, but then the priests in Israel, in so many cases, became the stumbling blocks. They became the ones to corrupt the children of Israel. The priests and false prophets led the people away from God to be unholy in so many cases. How sad that was. And in Ezekiel chapter 44, when God was looking towards a time of restoration, the remnant of Israel was in captivity in Babylon. He had Ezekiel the prophet working with them. And he was going to restore a remnant to the land of Israel. And he was going to have the priests to function in their office there again. And in Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 23, he said concerning these priests, "And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." So he's going back to square one, literally, isn't he? What he started from the outset in Leviticus 10, teaching the priests to do, which they had forsaken, now he's setting them forth again to do that job. But the job hasn't changed. But now he's going to give them this opportunity to do things the way the Lord had intended from the beginning. Again, to teach the people to make that discernment between what was holy and profane. Not to be like the ones that he mentions in Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. If we turn over there momentarily, Ezekiel 22 verse 26. And this is why they were in captivity. Only a remnant had been preserved. He said, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." So that's what the priests had actually done, but we can see what God's will was for them to do. Now, does that have relevance to us today? Well, yes. In the prophecy of in Malachi, the book of Malachi in chapter 3, he speaks about Christ's work with his followers and how he would be like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap in Malachi 3 and verse 2. And this prophecy of Christ in verse 3 says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." So that would be Christ's work. But he refers to the followers of Christ there as the sons of Levi, the spiritual children of Levi. We are the spiritual heirs of that will of God that he established in the shadows, in the physical shadow of who we are to be, that we would make that distinction between what is holy and what is not, and that we would teach one another that difference. That is our work today. I mean, who are priests today? Well, we are. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go over there and read verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 5, he says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So there he's this is one of those references where he shows that we are that spiritual temple of God. And at the same time as living stones in that building, we are also that holy priesthood. And we're to be offering up these spiritual sacrifices to him. And then in verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Well, we were all in the darkness and the corruption of sin. But as Christians, we've been called out of that. That is the very word for a church in the New Testament, the Greek word ekklesia, the called out ones. That's who we are. We've been called out of that darkness into God's marvelous light. Well, what is the word for it when we've been called out of the darkness of this world to be set apart for God and to be in the light because He and walk in the light because He is in the light and there's no darkness in Him? That's holiness. That's what that is. That's the process of being sanctified that He's describing there, which is why He says we are to be that holy nation. We're the spiritual nation, but you can see how we're the fulfillment of all of what God expressed as His will for physical Israel so long ago. Well, that was His will for the people. That was the job of the priests. And we can see that connection between what was there in the Old Testament with that and who we're supposed to be as Christians under the New Testament. Did mention that we also want to consider our job as parents. This was something that God had taught the parents of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Back again to the book of Deuteronomy, to chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You know, we saw earlier what he said in Numbers 15, what was to be on their clothing as a reminder of the commandments of God to keep them and to be holy. Well, he said these are his words that he wanted them to teach to their children. So this was a job that he gave to them for the children of as children of his and what they were to do with their own children who were God's children. In Psalm 78, he is also describing the same thing in verses 1 through 8. Psalm 78, 1 to 8. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So here again is what they were supposed to be doing with their children. Well, in the New Testament, what does God teach us to do with our children? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, we can see His commandment to children themselves and also to fathers. In Ephesians chapter 6, this is one of those rare occasions where the Lord directly addresses the children. That's the first word of Ephesians chapter 6. There in verse 1, children. So here's God speaking directly to you, children. There's several of you here right now. Hear God's word to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, is that beyond what a child is able to understand? No, it is not. That's why God speaks directly to the children and says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment with promise, the promise that your lives may be long on the earth if you obey your parents. We can read in Scripture that is a very good way to have one's life on this earth to be shortened when someone is in rebellion against authority, and that first authority that we have under our parents. Living in rebellion, starting out as a child, that leads in so many cases to a very tragic and early end of life on this earth. But God commands the children to obey their parents, and then the fathers of the children. He says, and you fathers, and this is verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So as the children of physical Israel were to, they were to teach their children God's commandments, what does He require and expect out of us that are following Christ, what we should do with our children. We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's our job. And who does He give that responsibility to first and foremost? Well, to the ones that He has given authority over the family. And He's addressing their fathers of the children. Now, of course, we know that in so many cases, and this is not a bad thing, but the children spend so much of their time during the day with their mothers at home. Well, when if you have a Christian father and a Christian mother, as it should be, they're going to be together bringing their children up in those ways of the Lord, in His nurture and admonition. But who's going to be answering to God for the direction that the home takes? I mean, can we say to God, well, wasn't me, it was that woman you gave me. That's what Adam said, isn't it? When he had a problem, tried to blame her. Well, we've got responsibilities. We can't forsake that responsibility as fathers of our children. We're going to answer to God for that. And we have to make sure that our children are being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're going to be giving account to the Lord for that. And so that's our job as followers of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, if we can turn over there for a moment, Hebrews chapter 12, and let's read verses 5 through 17. Hebrews 12, 5 through 17. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now God says the purpose of His chastening is that we might learn to be partakers of His holiness in verse 10. And He tells us to follow peace with all men and to follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, that's the purpose of the Lord's chastening. But then He's making a comparison between His work with His children and the work of fathers with their children on this earth. Well, we can see, as fathers of our children, we can see the greatest example of a father that there is, our Heavenly Father, and what He's accomplishing with His children by His chastening. What should we be aiming to do with our children? Exactly that. We want to be tools in God's hands to teach our children, to bring them up in the Lord's nurture and admonition, to chasten them as they need that, to learn the Lord's ways so that they can be partakers of His holiness. Because if they don't learn to be holy, they'll never see Him. We need to see Him. That's the only way that we're going to have eternal life. We need to be there with Him in eternity. But in order for that to happen, we have to be holy, because He is holy. Well, Lord willing, we'll have one more of these where we want to really go and look at the teachings of the New Testament in detail and look at that process of how we can be holy, not just a little bit holy, but as the title of our study is, Perfecting Holiness in the Fear of God. So we want to spend one more time together and one more lesson studying about this. It's worthy of our time to learn to be holy and to perfect holiness as God has commanded us to. Tonight is an opportunity, if you're here and if you've not yet started to follow the Lord, to be set apart for Him. If you're not yet one of His children, tonight won't you become one? He wants you to be. He wants you to be holy. He wants to adopt you as His child, to be your father, for you to be His son or daughter in Christ, which is available through Christ and only through Christ. But that comes by obeying His gospel. Are you ready to repent and be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins as the Lord commands? If so, that's how we put on Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. We're ready to assist you in that obedience to the gospel. If that is your desire, if that's your need, please do so now. If you are a Christian, if you need to be holy, if you haven't been following Him to be holy as you should, if you need to come back to Him, this is an opportunity for you also. So we want to encourage anyone and everyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight to do so right now together as we stand and sing.